You're listening to a Zone Radio podcast, zoneradio.co.za.
This gardening feature is brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.
It's 10:30 and time for the Garden Zone with our sponsor, Jeremy Finn from Harry Humans Garden Center. Good morning, Jeremy, and welcome back. Compliments of the season.
To you too. Thank you very much for having me again.
Yes, did you have a good break?
We didn't have a break. we carried on.
Yes.
Yeah, this is our time to do some business. You know, everyone's on holiday, so we're not on holiday.
Yes.
So, yeah, we were busy, which is good.
So when do you take the holiday?
It's the winter holiday.
A winter holiday.
Yeah.
Well, that makes sense, doesn't it?
Yeah, yeah, exactly. When it's cold and wet, then no one's in the garden, so that's when we can have a break. So, yeah, we'll be going away in the June, July holidays, which is cool.
Yes, very. So our topic today is about the birds and the bees, right?
The birds and the bees, yes. Yeah, I thought originally David and I would have been talking about propagation. And so I thought, well, I don't know what he said the topic was, but I thought let me spice it up a little bit and go with birds and the bees because that reference is a little bit different.
Very different, I'd say.
So, so the birds and the bees, obviously talking about propagation, talking about how plants make new plants, which is, it's interesting in the wild. Usually the plants that we get in the nursery are either specifically grown from like a cutting or a seed that the suppliers produce, or, you know, it comes from like an environment that's controlled, usually. So they're guaranteeing genetic material and they're guaranteeing the growth rate of the plant and stuff like that. But in nature, obviously, it happens like a totally different way.
Yeah.
So I thought I would just talk about a little bit about it, about the how plants actually do this, because it sounds like a biology lesson, but it is a biology lesson.
I was going to say, it doesn't sound like it.
It is a biology lesson, which is sometimes interesting. And so plants use various ways of reproducing themselves. And obviously they need to reproduce because that's how they, you know, live, carry on living. They don't all have a massive lifespan. Like you get some trees that last for hundreds of years. I don't know what the oldest living plant is, but you know, it's hundreds of years old.
Yes.
Whereas some only live for one season, and then because of that they have to make something new to keep their species going, and usually that's to do with seed, in terms of like the annuals.
Yes.
I mean, most of your weeds are like annuals, so their lifespan is extremely short, and what they do is they grow really fast, they make seeds, the seeds get dispersed, and then they just carry on going like that. Seeds germinate in favorable conditions, and then they just carry on growing.
Yes.
So in nature, there's various ways. And as I said, there's seed. And then also this seed is a sexual process where there's a male and a female that come together and produce the seed eventually. And then there's also the ferns, which produce spores, which is similar to like a fungi, where it's producing a spore rather than a seed. And that also gets, you know, moved around by the wind maybe, or somehow dispersed, and then the plant will grow from that. So those are the sexual reproductive ways. But then you also get the asexual, where the original plant will maybe grow a baby plant next to it. And then from there, that's the reproduction. So it's reproducing itself. So you get the mother plant, and then it reproduces by maybe a bulb, or it has an underground root that grows along. And every time there's a node, it grows a plant from there going upwards and roots going down.
Nature is amazing, isn't it?
So, you know, the, it's, yeah, and then in terms of, I was just going to go back to the asexual, you get the vegetative, which is what I've talked about, where
yes.
It's the plant, like, let's say grass. Grass would be, let's say, your cucuyu grass in your lawn. That one is like a runner. When you say a runner, then you know that it's reproducing by just running along the ground. Yeah. It does produce seed, but it actually, part of the way it goes really far and really fast is because it makes runners as well. So maybe in times of in hardship, I'm guessing, that's when they're going to produce the seed, because, you know, they know the seed is only going to maybe germinate when the conditions are more favorable. So if the going is good, it's going to send out runners in every direction. And that means it's going to make a little stolon, they call it, or runner. And then from there, as I said, roots grow down and the leaves come out the top. And then another way is from a rhizome. I think a rhizome would be like ginger, I think, grows from a rhizome. So it's like a rooty thing under the ground, and then also sends up its shoots. And then tubers like potatoes, sweet potatoes, other type of potatoes. Every time it has like a little eye, then it sends out that's where a new plant can grow out of that root, okay, or tuber.
Before we carry on, good morning, Ursula. How are you? Ursula says, asexual example, mother-in-law's tongue, a snake plant. Or is that similar to a rhizome? And then she said, okay, you've just answered the question.
Yes. Yeah, yeah, that would be
for that, Ursula.
Yeah, it is asexual because it is producing that like rhizome under the ground. And then,
yes,
you know, we have those mother-in-law tongues in bags in the nursery. And then all of a sudden you'll get this like thing on the side of the bag.
Yes.
And it's like sticking out like a knuckle. And then all of a sudden this thing will push through the bag. And then, all of a sudden again, then the roots will shoot out.
And just start spreading. The
roots will shoot down and leaves will come out. So that's how it reproduces. It just makes like a clump.
Yeah.
And a lot of plants do that. They're clumping plants. And then the last one would be like a bulb. So some, like I said, they have their existing mother bulb.
Yes.
And then little bulbs will grow around it and be fed by the plant. And then eventually those bulbs will be big enough for them to create their own plant. And I think, I'm not sure on the technical term, but they just become separate plants. And then the new bulb will grow. And then from there, it will mature and also be able to produce baby ones next to it. And it just keeps clumping like that. But it's actually separate bulbs that are reproduced, which is also pretty interesting. And then other asexual ways, we do this at our own place. We make cuttings, and that is like a genetic copy of the existing mother plant. So the mother plant will obviously be growing, and then if it's a good specimen and it's growing really nicely and it's got a good shape, whatever, of the plant that you want to copy, then you would make cuttings. And then you can make cuttings in various places. You can make softwood cuttings, you can make semi-hardwood cuttings, and you can make hardwood cuttings. And depending on the type of plant, you'll have to choose which one is going to be the most successful for you. And then usually those cuttings, I think we've talked about this before, but you would put a bit of rooting hormone on it, and that'll stimulate the genetic material or the plant, the cutting that you've created.
Get the process going.
Yeah, start growing the roots.
Yes.
And then you'd put it in a nice, we've got these things called Jiffy box plugs. I sell them in little packages of either, I think it's 25 or 48, because we've got some trays that they fit into quite nicely. And those are like a peat-based little plug, because that's what I see, yeah, box plug. And you can either do a seed in there or you can do a cutting. And the cuttings seem to take very well in this medium. It's a like a spongy peat-based thing, but it's just the perfect ratio of moisture, soil, and oxygen in this little, so as long as you spray them and you keep them moist, it's going to regulate everything really nicely. So obviously the scientists got involved in this and they decided, okay, well, you know, you can take a chance and you can just throw your cutting in a potting soil, but then you don't know if it's too wet or if it's too dry or if it's too compacted or it's not, you know, it's not compacted enough. So you can try your luck, and some plants don't care. But to have the best success rate in terms of cuttings, I would definitely recommend that. And, you know.
How long would the cutting sort of take?
To actually produce roots.
To produce roots in the little containers.
Well, that also depends on what kind of cutting you're taking.
Yes.
And so some things just go and start growing roots within a few days. And then some take a little bit longer.
Yeah.
Sometimes if it's too long, they might rot. But, you know, usually in that, as I said, that perfect combination of the air, the moisture, whatever, these cuttings sort of survive in that environment. And then if they're more difficult, they will still...
And you stock this? You actually sell this?
Yes, yes. Yeah. No, we sell the little box plugs, Jiffy box plugs, they're called. And we also sell the rooting hormone. And that comes in, as I said, the... depending on which cutting type you want to take. You've got the the softwood cutting, which is at the really tips of the plant. So some plants work much better doing that. And then some are on slightly thicker branches, and that would be the semi-hardwood. And then you get the really tough ones, which are like actually hardwood cuttings, and some only work from that. And that would be, so you get like 1, 2, and 3. It's all the same chemical, but it's different...
levels.
Yeah, different concentration.
Yes, yes.
So for the hardwood, it needs a stronger dose. And then, yeah, so you would do some research on the plant that you want to reproduce and then come and play around with the different things and give it a go.
Yes.
So, I mean, obviously I'm taking away business from myself because then people are going to grow their own plants. But, you know, it's a fun experiment, and it's also fun to, you know, take that sort of process into your own hands.
It's also an interaction with your clients and you, and you know, to have the conversation.
Yeah, exactly.
You know? Yeah.
And as I said, you can also do seeds in those box plugs, but the cuttings are really good. And the last thing that in terms of asexual would be actually grafting. And that is a process where you take maybe a rootstock of one plant that you know is really strong, and then you graft on, which is fuse, another plant onto it. So a lot of roses are grafted. You'll find that you, if you look at the base of your rose stem, if you've bought a rose from me or from maybe like Ludwig's, they do a massive range of roses. We don't do a lot of roses because of the area here. It's not conducive to... too many roses, but some people have good spots. And you'll, if you look at the base, you'll see out of the ground comes maybe a straight bit, and then there'll be this like knob thing going on.
Yeah.
And that knob is where they've grafted the really nice flowering one onto some rootstock that maybe doesn't produce flowers. It's still a rose species.
Yes.
But it's got a really, it's like really strong in terms of root growth and everything like that. So they've taken this hybrid that they've produced that's producing maybe this like special, you know, any sort of color that you can imagine with roses these days, and they've grafted it onto that really strong rootstock. And from there, the cutting now takes nutrients from this rootstock and makes sure that it can grow really well. And you'll see that in also lots of fruit trees. They're also grafted. So like a lemon, the Cape Rough lemon is a strong rootstock, and it produces really nice lemons. But those are the ones that have that really thick skin. You know that one?
Is it a darker color as well? It's not the light green. It's like
on it's a darker color.
Yellow green is that color.
Yeah. So that's the Cape Rough, which is get that really thick, thick rind, I suppose. And then that one has its own, it grows on its own root system. Whereas the Eureka lemon, which is also very popular in our area, we sell a lot of Eurekas. Those ones are a decent sized lemon, smooth skin, but that one is grafted onto a citrus rootstock. And so you'll find, if you see, this is the interesting thing. Sometimes people come and say, oh, my lemon's not producing any lemons anymore.
Mm.
And then what you'll find is that for some reason, that the grafted part, I think we talked about this before, but it's always good to remind
us. Long time ago.
So you have that grafted part, and that part has actually died for some reason. And now the rootstock has started shooting out, and it's sort of taken on over. And now you think, you know, your lemon is growing really nicely, and you've got all these new shoots, and everything's growing. But then it never produces any lemons because it's not really meant to. And then people were like, oh, okay, I understand why. It's because the rootstock is now producing the stems and yes. the leaves and stuff, instead of the grafted part, which was the proper lemon
that could
produce the lemons. Yeah. So
that's complicated.
But that's one of the things you can check on your citrus. If you've been sitting with this lemon tree that you put in ages ago, and then all of a sudden you realize, hang on, we should be getting lemons, but nothing's coming out. And then that could be why the process has gone a bit strange.
Right. If you've just tuned in, good morning, goeiemôre, and welcome. We are busy with the Garden Zone with our sponsor, Jeremy Finn, from Harry Humans Garden Centre. And just on a lighter note, Val, our very own fairy godmother, says, I sure know what to do with the lemon. And we're back to Ursula. You're going to live long, Ursula, as you said. What about grafting? And that is what Jeremy is busy with right now. And she also says, I take more cutting from needed in case some don't take. If I'm lucky to be awarded with surplus plant, I share them with friends, she says. And then she said, I once purchased a kumquat, sorry about my throat, is so froggy, a plant, and later it kept forcing a large lemon, so I figured it must have been grafted from another lemon base.
Yes. Yeah, I think that's exactly what we were talking about. Maybe the kumquat part just didn't survive, and then you were getting stuff from below that graft. I've heard of also people grafting, maybe you have the rootstock and then you have a lemon coming out one side and an orange coming out the other. I mean, that's also the weird and wonderful things that people do with the grafting, because you can do that sort of stuff because it's all one.
So you can actually mix a lemon and an orange.
Yeah, you could probably do it with three. You have a lemon one side, a lime coming out, and then an orange coming out the side. Yeah, you can have the whole citrus in one tree, I suppose.
No comment. You've taken me back to school now, and I'm just looking at you. You know the saying, look, listen, and learn?
Yes.
That's what I'm doing right now.
Okay, yeah, we are doing the biology stuff. And that's why I thought we would get back to the birds and the bees in terms of, like, pollination.
Yes.
Because that's something that obviously has to happen with certain plants where, let's say, one of the plants has only male flowers or male produces pollen on male flowers, and then another plant has only the female receptacles. I don't know. Yeah. I can't remember what the names are. Stamen and I'm blanking on that right now. But so each, they have to be maybe in a similar vicinity if that's going to happen to produce seeds, because you have to get the male pollen to get to the female receptacle thingy. And then from there, you get the cross-pollination as well. And that's to do with, like, keeping the genetics in check. If you do get plants that self-pollinate, so they'll have either male flowers and female receptacles on the same tree, and then the pollen will just maybe fall down by gravity, or the wind will blow it, or an insect will still move it around.
Yes.
But it'll just pollinate itself. But the problem with that is that you're only getting a genetic copy. And then also because, that's why humans also, you don't... okay, let's not talk about that. But, you get, what do they call them? Like mutations.
Yes.
That's the word. So, when you have cross-pollination, you eliminate the mutation variability. So most plants will use the cross-pollination, but some, they just keep going with the self-pollination. But yeah, you get various ways how this happens. So insects are a big part of it, and then birds and animals as well are a big part of moving things around. And that's for the pollen dispersal. We've talked about that, because the bees are going to collect the nectar out of the flower, and then because of that, they get the pollen on their bodies, and then they go to another plant and flower, and then the pollen gets brushed onto the right place, and then from there the seeds or the fruit even, and that's another thing, the fruit contains the seeds. And that brings me back to that really expensive coffee. I don't know if you know of that civet coffee. Have you heard about it?
No. Expensive coffee? There's lots of expensive coffee.
No, but this is like super expensive coffee. This is where there's a certain civet in I think it's in the Indonesian islands or whatever, and it eats the coffee fruit, the cherries, and then it passes through their digestive system, and then it gets pooped out. And that's how the plant distributes their, you know, that's how they've evolved. So the cherry goes in, it gets all the good bacteria and stuff, and then it gets pooped out, and then from there the plant will grow. But then for some reason, someone decided that this would be a good idea to collect.
They make coffee.
And then they use those cherries
to make coffee.
To make the coffee beans, and then it's from there roasted, and it's supposed to be
the coffee, I'd say.
The coffee of the kings. You're eating, poop coffee.
Okay, thank you.
I don't even know if you can get it in South Africa, but anyway, someone will probably tell us about that.
Well, if someone has experienced it, please come through on 072-447-8044. We'd love to hear from you.
and that's the other thing with the animals. Say the plant will produce a fruit, and then that will be eaten by a bird. Or a different animal, and then go through their system. And that's also part of the process, because they know, that plant knows that because it's going to poop it out, it's going to have some fertilizer around it.
Yes.
And from there, when it does germinate, get water or whatever, it's going to have some nutrients, and it's going to be able to grow. So getting to a point where they worked that out, that was, phenomenal. Nature is pretty insane.
Yes, and that's what we said. Oh, we've got another one. Oh, Ursula's keeping us busy this morning, and that's awesome.
Maybe she's had the coffee.
Yes, maybe you have. What about plants that need separate male and female plants within a radius to produce? Example, I purchased 2 blueberry shrubs, but the one root, the one not doing well. If it doesn't make it, will the other still produce fruit?
Yeah, I think blueberries, depending on the type, some of them do their own pollination. The one thing that I do know that you have to have different ones in the area are almonds. That we've sold before, and you definitely have to have, like, I think it's non-perennial and then another type. And then because they're in the same garden,
yes,
you'll get that cross-pollination. I think it's also some certain apples will need cross-pollination. If you have 2 of the same apple of the same variety, it doesn't work for some reason. I'm not clued up on all the, the biology on that. But
Ursula will have to make a way to come and have a chat with you.
Yeah, definitely.
And then she's also said, and pawpaw and avos.
Yes. I'm trying to remember those ones as well. I'd have to do some research.
Yeah, we'll do some research and to be continued on that one.
Yeah, exactly.
Because can you believe it? The time has kind of almost run out.
Yeah, we didn't talk about sport though.
No, we didn't.
Did you watch Dreyfus Duplessis?
You know, we were all ready to go and we missed it.
Oh no.
So we waited for a replay to catch it. We actually missed it.
Oh, okay. Jeez, I was sweating for him when I was watching.
But apparently they said it was a touch go, is that right?
Yes. It was definitely one of those ones where.
Well, now that you watched it, did he deserve to win? Because I know some people were booing, and I think that's so not nice.
No. He definitely does deserve to win. He was on the front foot the whole thing. Yes, the other guy was landing some good strikes, Strickland. But, I think.
That my son said exactly what you said, but then others said, no, it was very close. And my son said, no. See, he was going to win.
Yeah.
But we missed it. We all got up all, and first they said it was going to be earlier,
And then
it was later. But when we got out to put it, we saw the flag.
You missed it.
So we caught the glory, not the fight.
Awesome.
Jeremy, it is time for us to say goodbye. You want to put yourself out there? I know you're out there already, but
I am doing, I think, a talk on Thursday at 10:30.
Oh, really?
At the nursery.
Well, there we go. So Ursula, 10:30, make your way to Harry Hooman's.
Yeah, I think.
Is it bookings? Are you taking bookings?
If you go to our Facebook, Sissel's got a booking thing just to make sure we put enough seats out and that thing. So
is there a cost involved?
No,
cost, but you need to book for seats.
Yes, that helps us.
Okay. Yeah, well, definitely. That's awesome. All right. Yeah. So what are you actually talking about? Can you share that with us? Or?
I'm going to be talking about what's looking good in the nursery right now.
Oh, wonderful.
It's always a good thing. And then I'll probably do some product demonstrations or you know, my show and tell. That's what I like to do as well. Yes, yeah. I like the show and tell because
I like show and tell too because then I can see.
Exactly.
Now I was listening to this lesson. Oh my word! You know, but if I can see, you know, show and tell's awesome. So yes. Thank you, Jeremy. And then
Pleasure. We'll
be back in 2 weeks' time. We hope David. We missed him.
Yes.
We hope that he'll be back. You know, with you.
Yeah.
And you need to go and do some homework to answer these questions.
Yeah, yeah.
But Ursha, you're welcome to pop in and go and have a chat with Jeremy.
Thank you
so much, Jeremy. Have
Pleasure.
A liquor day.
You too. Thank you.
Bye.
Cheers.
This gardening feature was brought to you by Harry Humans Garden Center.
Hi, I'm Jeremy, owner of Harry Humans Garden Center, and I'd like to invite you to come and experience some genuine retail therapy at our special garden center, where our friendly and knowledgeable staff are waiting to help you. Come and find the perfect plant, beautiful pot, compost, potting or specialized soils, products to solve a pesky insect or fungal garden infection, and so much more. We strive to have a wide range and fair pricing. We're looking forward to seeing you soon at Harry Humans Garden Center.